We've been talking about prayer. Very important. That's our communication with God, guys. That's we're supposed to be in fellowship with God through prayer. We always put God as this distant thing somewhere, like he's not right here in us and with us. He's not distant. He's here. So what we ought to do is just communicate with him. You got a friend that's sitting right next to you, you talk to him, you know? Well, you got a friend that created you sitting right next to you, talk to him in you. You know, he's close to you. He's not like he's some far off place. He's always talked about like he's some great distance away, like he's in another galaxy or something. No, God is right here with us, man. And he chose to do that in us, to be with us. He chose to put himself in us. He chose to put his word in us. He chose to put his whole Bible, his whole word in us. He chose to put his son in us. He chose that his spirit was going to be in us. You know, he chose all those things. He chose you. He chose you that you were going to be a person that serves him. He chose you. A lot of choosing that God did, but you got to remember, we ought to be thankful for the choosing that he does. Okay, it's very good stuff. So we've been talking about prayer. And I have up there that somebody just dinged me here. Oh, okay, great. One of the things that healing, we get that through prayer. Now, think about what I'm saying here now. But we have a concept of healing when we pray, don't we? We say, okay, I'm praying, and this is what I want God to do. So we start directing God and what we want him to do. We want him to touch your body a certain way or come and deliver us a certain way or whatever. Hey, let me tell you something, guys. We're all going to go through something, you know, especially in these physical bodies and whatever. But there's going to be calamities that'll happen to us too. You know, houses that'll, I remember our house flooded and I opened my bedroom door and looked out. And the door is what was keeping the water from coming in my room. But when I opened the door and then I shut, after I saw the water, I shut again. But then I peeked out there again. You could see the waves going across, going to the other side of the house. I said, we're in trouble. We have a calamity. And turned out we had a big calamity. But, you know, it's things that you go through. You know, you look at it and it's just like anything else. God'll take you through everything. So, I want you to start changing your minds a little bit about what you think about your prayer to God for things that happen to you when you want healing. First of all, here's the thing. What is healing? You know, we say, okay, that means you break your leg, God heals it. That's how we think, right? You know, I was thinking about that Lindsey Vonn coming, you know, in the Winter Olympics. The girl's had 5 operations on her knee now. You know, total. And that was to keep her from being amputated because the breaks were so bad. That's a tough thing, isn't it? You know, so to me, it's just amazing that she's able to do the things that she's able to do. But when we start talking about healing, we need to start having a mindset change, okay? Let me read you something here that the Lord said, and it's very powerful. It's in Matthew 13. Now listen to this. Matthew 13:13. I'll start there. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. And that word gross that God uses there, it means to make stupid. In case you didn't know what that was. So for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now he uses the term what? Healing, right? Actually, there's a prayer going on here, but he says that I should heal them. But he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So, but he talks about healing in a different sense. To us, we say, okay, he's saying they can't hear, they can't see, you know, whatever. And we immediately go to what we think all of that means to us literally here. But God's talking something spiritual here. I want you to catch something here. It's very important. I wrote a note to myself. Let's go to, give me a second here. I'm just trying to find this. Luke 8:35, I think. Or 8:35 is the area I'm going to be going to. You know the story already. Remember when Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes? Remember, he steps out the boat and onto the land, with the land of Gadarenes. And the term that they use is demoniac. Demoniac rushes up to him, you know, like he's going to do something to him. Now, here's the story on the demoniac. All it means is that it's a man possessed by the devil. Everything has been, the devil has complete control of him, okay? And, but when he gets to Jesus, he bows. Because devils know who Jesus is. This is very powerful. And he bows and worships. And he said, what do I have to do with thee, you know, Jesus? And he said, did you come to torment us before our time? Immediately, a fear is there. But Jesus starts questioning him. Remember that? He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, because we're many, you know. And then the story about the guy really comes out, you know. He's naked. Cuts himself, screams in the middle of the night, lives among the tombs. You know, they tried to chain him a few times. He broke the chains. That guy's possessed. A lot of things going on. Screaming all night among the tombs in the graveyard, basically, is what we're saying. And this is what this guy does. And this is, he's making his abode among the dead. And the things that he does, he's breaking chains. People are scared of him. They don't want to go that way where they're afraid he's going to come out and do something to him. This guy's possessed. But when he sees Jesus, the things in him have to bow to Jesus. I love that. So he asked those demons, said, what's your name? He said, my name is Legion, because we're many. Wow. Because we're many. But then they get worried, you know, about being cast out, right? So we know that Jesus can heal. And one of the things he does in healing is casting out devils, right? And so this guy has a bunch of spirits in him, and he's going to cast these things out. But here's the thing that I like about it. They beg him, hey, let us go into the swine so we can be in some, you know, unclean spirits like to inhabit something. That's what they like to do. If you let them, they'll inhabit you. But they like to inhabit something, and that's what causes people to not be in their right mind, okay? So he tells them, okay, you can go into the swine. Swine runs off the edge of the cliff, goes down into the water, they all drown. Amazing, huh? It's like they lose their minds and they all drown. But here's what I want you to catch here. Then they went out to see what was done. This is 8:35 in Luke. See what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why are they afraid now? Think about that for a second. But he's clothed and he's in his right mind. Now, wait a minute. So we knew this guy was possessed. He needed to have a healing done in his life, right? Now he's in his right mind. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now I want you to think about this. Is there a humility that's working here? He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. Later on, if you continue to read, he begs Jesus, let me follow you. You did such a great thing for me. Let me follow you. And Jesus said, no. I have something else in mind for you. I want you to go back home, back to the city that you came from, and you tell him what great things God has done for you. Isn't that powerful? Tell him that. But he really wanted to follow Jesus because he's been delivered now. And so he's clothed and in his right mind. When we are healed, we come back to a right mind. What were we from the beginning? Didn't God breathe his breath into us? We are a word of God from the beginning. I tell you guys that all the time. He breathed himself into us, that word. He created us. And didn't we have a conversation with Jesus back then? Yes, we did. We had much of a conversation with him. So go with me to, where's it at? I think it's 4:23 of Ephesians. Let's go there. I'm going to read 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We all know about that old man, don't we? According to deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think about this. Why do we have to be renewed? Why use that term, renewed? Because at one time we had conversation with God. We were with God. There were experiences we had with God. But then sin came and we fell. And then we forgot everything, didn't we? Forgot everything. So now what Jesus is telling us, now I've come so you can be renewed in your mind. You can remember the things you talked about with God. God, we talk about that being the ear to hear. You know what that really is? You're in remembrance of the conversations you had with God before. You are the created being of God. You are the one God spoke into existence. He had conversation with you. God brings it all back. So when you catch here a word and all of a sudden you get an understanding of it, you know why? Because you heard it before. It's been renewed in you now by the Spirit. That Spirit renews you. You get excited about a word. So why am I getting so excited about this thing I just heard? Well, that's because you've heard it before, you forgot it, and now it's been brought back. I love it when your memory starts to go. I don't know about the rest of you. My wife and I, we look at each other sometimes. Man, I forget so many things, but I love it when I can have stuff come back and I say, oh, now I remember what it was. And we all like that, don't we? I remember what it is now. Now we can go on and do what we need to do, but I love it when I can remember. Well, think about the things that God was telling you from the beginning and you love and remember what he said to you. You realize that you're his son and daughter. You realize that God has always been with you and that he made a way for you in spite of everything. So when we are healed, we come back to a restoration of our right mind, which is what? What God talked to us about from the beginning. What God always wanted to talk to us about. What he's talking to us about right now. The things that we believe, the things that we're going through. Now, remember, there were people that didn't hear, didn't see, whatever. Look at the miracles that Jesus did. Look at that. Miracles take place in heaven, by the way. They're heavenly things. But that's why it shocks us so much when we see it here, you know, because it's being done in heaven. And then it's something we don't have power to normally do. Right. So when he went to Lazarus, and was going to raise him. Remember all that happened there? Jesus wept. He wept because of all the unbelief. You know, even the sisters told him, said, look, hey, our brother, we know he's going to be resurrected in the day, way on down the line. But Jesus said, no. I want you to understand something I'm going to tell you right now. I am the resurrection and the life. And so if you come back to life again, that's a big deal, isn't it? So he stands out there, he prays to the Father. He said, Father, I'm praying to you, not for my sake, not for Lazarus' sake, I'm paraphrasing here now, but for all these people that don't believe. They're standing here, they're not believing. And I want them to know that I always hear you, Father. Every time you speak to me, I hear you, and I do what you tell me to do. And you're telling me to do something right now, and what is that? Bring forth life in a resurrection again. And he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that tomb, didn't he? Because he spoke it. And then all that unbelief, the people, the fame of that thing happening went out all over. People started believing. And a group of people went back and told the Pharisees and the chief priests and all that stuff what he had done. Immediately, they made plans on how they were going to kill Jesus and kill Lazarus so that the evidence won't be around anymore. You go and read it in John. They started making plans. But that was a great healing. If you think about it, he died from something and God brought him back to life. You think about that resurrection. Now, there's something that I was thinking about the other day. We talk a lot about the woman with the issue of blood, don't we? And so we know that she has an uncontrollable bleeding that's going on. There are people in this world today that have things like that, uncontrollable bleeding. And so sometimes they can't stop it. You know, doctors try all kinds of things and they can't stop it. But you have to remember what the law was like in those days. Did you know under the Mosaic law, if there was a bleeding like that, you were considered unclean? And that you could not gather with the rest of the people like in a city. Remember how the lepers were? God would say, here's a leper. Lepers had to cry out all the time, unclean, unclean. If they were coming your way, they had to be screaming, unclean, unclean, to give you a chance to get out of the way. It was the same way with a woman if she was bleeding like that. And so under the Mosaic law, she was not supposed to be around cities and people and in crowds. Did this woman care about that? What was her thought? She said, if I could just touch the, but she realized even under that Mosaic law, people would withdraw from. Do you realize how isolated that woman was for 12 years? How isolated she was because of that law. But she said, I'm tired of this. I've spent all I have on physicians. They can't do anything for me. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And when she did touch him, what did Jesus say? Who touched me? You don't think he knew who touched him? But the disciples, they said, Lord, this crowd around you, and you're asking who touched you? Could have been a million people, 1,000 people here. But he said, no, I perceive my virtue's gone out. And that was specific. That's the truth of God, the power of God going forth. And he turned and he saw the woman. She came trembling, it said. And she said, yeah, I'm the one that touched you. And he said, daughter. Now, that's very important that he called her daughter. You know why? That means she's considered a Hebrew, a Jewish woman. Okay, so daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Because remember, they had ostracized her to the point where people say, okay, you're not really part of us. But Jesus just took all that, threw it out the window, said, hey, daughter. Daughter? Yeah. She's a daughter of Israel just like you are, the ones that don't have the bleeding. She's just like you, but now I've done something for her. The flow of her blood has been staunched. Wow, what a powerful thing. Now I want you to think about something. He says this, and I think I may need to read it to you, just for you to know that it's in the Bible. Do you realize that her bleeding was called a plague? Have you ever heard that term before, that she had the plague? Wow. I think it's in Mark. Let me see if I can find it, because I wrote something down here. Mark 5:29. Let's read that. And I think it says it again in 34. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Have you ever noticed that before? Let's go down to 34 and look what it says there. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Does it bring something to your mind? Anybody remember anything in Exodus? Moses going to Pharaoh? What was the first plague that came forth? Anybody remember? What was the first plague? Yes, blood. That was the very first plague. You know what they typified that thing to what this woman had? Called it a plague. Catch what I'm saying here now. So in other words, it's deeper than having a physical ailment. Think about what I'm saying. And the plague, who had the plagues? Pharaoh. I think it's Exodus 9:14. Go back and read it. All those plagues took place where? In Pharaoh's heart. Did it also affect the people too? Oh, yes. But it was in Pharaoh's heart. And God gave that same image to those people of each thing that he did. But really, it was to convince Pharaoh of who God was. That's what the whole thing was about. He said, I don't know this God that you're talking about, Moses. Who is he? By the time those 10 plagues were finished, he knew who God was. He knew him then, didn't he? But the very first one was a plague of blood. Do you realize that plague lasted 7 days? Do you realize that all the water in the Nile, which is one of the biggest rivers in the world, turned to blood? All the water that they had in pots and containers for people to cook with and to bathe and whatever, everything had water turned to blood. Now, imagine how this worked. That's a pretty bad deal. Everybody suffered, huh? Everything was suffering. But this is what God wanted them to understand. I have the power to do what? To change your circumstances in and out, but then I can turn right around and heal them and make everything come back okay. And when Moses went back and Pharaoh said, hey, pray to your God, man. See, if we don't like this. We don't like 7 days of this. We don't like it. Pray to your God. Lied at first. I'll let your people go. Then he hardened his heart. Actually, who hardened his heart, guys? God did. So his heart became hardened, and then he said, no, I changed my mind. You know, but that the people suffered, but God was showing his power each time. Then he went to the second plague, the third. You know, there were 10 plagues. He went through all of them. And finally, that last one is the one that got him. It was the plague of what? The firstborn, wasn't it? And that even took Pharaoh's son. That affected him. He said, now this time when I tell you you can go, you really can go. So this was the deal. God has to do that sometimes. Because there are things that we become used to, even in our thought, and we don't realize we need to be healed of it. We need to be healed of it. It's a powerful thing to understand that to be back in your right mind is to go back to what God spoke to you from the beginning. You had a right mind then. So God said he put the world in our heart, didn't he? He said he put that world in our heart. And we know the parable of the sower. First, the first thing that comes forth, remember when Jesus said, hey, he went out, he sowed into the world, right? The field is the world. He calls it a field, but we're working the parable out. So the field is the world, right? And he sows into that. And then the workers come back to him and they say, hey, didn't you sow good seed in this field? He said, yeah. He said, then where did those tares come from? Because they're looking at all the weeds that are popping up, right? He said, an enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. But when he put the world in our heart, Ecclesiastes 3:11, do you realize it was clean when he put it in? But by the time sin came and we kept continually defiling that world, guess what? A bunch of tares came up, didn't it? And that's what happened. All it is a story about what happened to us. But what God says, I want to heal you of that. I want to heal you of that. Didn't he say he came to heal the brokenhearted? What was causing the heart to be broken in the first place? Sin. It caused it to be broken. Do you ever stop to think that those four grounds were the heart? It's the way the heart is. That's where all those thoughts come from. All of those grounds. But that last ground is the good one, huh? Out of a good heart. Honest heart. That's the one you want. That's the 100, 60, and 30-fold, huh? The increase of everything. But what God was trying to show us is that our heart changes just like this. Things that come in, does it need to be healed? Almost definitely needs to be healed. Why do I keep going back to this healing thing? Because in James chapter 5, we're going to talk about more of this on Wednesday because I want to actually get into some things. But in James chapter 5, it starts talking about, is there any sick among you? Now, think about this. Think about what I'm going to say right now. Let's go to, I'm trying to see where I had it down here. I think it's Isaiah. Let's go to the first chapter of Isaiah, starting at verse 4. Now listen to this. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone back, a way backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. He comes straight to it now. And the whole heart faint. So he's letting you know the head and the heart both have a problem, huh? From the sole of the foot even into the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And then he goes on to about some other things. That's a pretty damn good description, huh? Because what he's saying is there is a damnation working there. Why? Because the whole head is sick. Where do we have our thoughts? Where do we think? The head is sick. God is trying to get us to understand something here. Not even that is the only thing. What he's talking about is there's something else that's working in us that's not good. And what is it is Ecclesiastes 6, 1 and 2. He says, there's something that we need to understand about how we think. Let's go to that. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Oh, wait a minute. Common among men? A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. Now think about what it's saying. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. So he compares sickness and disease, right, to things that we don't commonly associate with it, huh? We don't commonly associate that stuff to, when we think of sickness, we think of it a certain way. When we think of disease, we think of it a certain way. What if I told you that God, when he came here, when Jesus walked the earth, he was healing those spiritual sicknesses all the time. The man that was at the pool, I love this. When he was at the pool and he said, hey, an angel comes down and stirs it during a season, right? Do you realize that's spiritual right off the bat? We're talking about an angel coming down and stirring the waters, right? First person to go in was what? Healed from whatever disease or condition they had, right? So he comes up to the man. 38 years he's been there. So he's a fixture, isn't he, around that pool. Every time he tries to get up to go in, he can't do it in his own strength. It says that he is impotent, which means without strength. He had no strength. He didn't have. He said, I can't do it myself, and there's nobody that'll come and help me to get in. That's what he's telling Jesus. But Jesus tells him, okay, I'm here now. I'm paraphrasing. Take up your bed and walk, man. It is done. What he's been waiting for 38 years has been done. What a healing. But what if I was to tell you that was spiritual? The parable of it is the guy laying there on the thing. You see that. But what was it that Jesus was trying to get to concerning this guy? It's very important for you to understand. I think it's, let's see where it's at. I think I wrote something down here where it was at. 5:14 of John, let's look at that. I'm just giving you several things to think about. I'm going to start at 13. And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. He had healed him, conveyed himself away, went to another spot. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. And then he says this, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. We overlook that part. He says, sin no more or else a worse thing. What could be much worse than 38 years by laying impotent, no strength? Jesus told him, he said, whatever. He doesn't go into detail and tell us what it is. He just says, don't do this again or something worse will come upon you. So what is he healing really? Are we talking about healing by physical bodies? Or are we talking about healing the spiritual man, healing the mind, healing the heart? So when we go to James, we start talking about these things. Remember it says some funny language in James chapter 5. Listen to this. Almost done here too. Because we're going to have to get into it. There's some great things in there. But verse 13 says this, James chapter 5, 13. Is there any among you afflicted? Remember we talked to you about the fire affliction, the water affliction, how there was affliction that worked in the people of God from time to time. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Here we go back to the pray again, huh? Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. We're still talking about prayer. Looks like it says up there in the 13th verse. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Why that term? Shall save the sick. So what kind of sick are we talking about? Ah, spiritual sickness, the sin-sick soul. Prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, isn't that funny? During that time, people, religion, they pray for you. They never talk about any sin. They just pray for you, say, oh, we want to get this thing out. You know, you're pneumonia or whatever is your COVID or whatever it may be. But they never understand that that's not what God was talking about. What he was talking about, if he's committed any sin, it'll be forgiven him. You know why? Because this is the healing that God's talking about. It's the healing that restores you to your right mind in Christ. It's the healing that gets you back to the place you were in the beginning. Do you realize you came from a great place? Sin took you down. Now God's trying to get you back. Isn't that cool? And so he's showing he has power over all these things. He can work in you and by prayer overcome every one of them and bring you to a place where God can help you, where the Father can help you. This is what he was doing the whole time. He had power over all of these things. And people marveled at it because he could do those things. But he was doing it for a purpose. He was drawing people, say, ah, you listen to me and we'll heal you. We'll get that old man out of you and put a new man in you. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what the healing is all about. We don't understand it totally, but I think maybe in a thing like a Bible study, we can sit and answer questions and go through some things and find out that God was doing a different type of healing. He was bringing us back into our right mind. Just like he did, it doesn't make any difference how many devils you got in you. Just like that man was sitting at his foot, at his feet there, and he was doing what? He was clothed and in his right mind. He was healed, restored to his right mind. And he wanted to do the will of God in all things. But God told him, oh, I got a job for you. You know that place that guy was from? There's a set of cities there. It's called Decapolis. You'll go back and you'll read that in some of the writings of that. Decapolis means 10 cities. There was a province there with 10 cities in it. That guy went back and preached in all of them. He went back and told the story about what God had done for him. And God knew that that was a much better thing for him to do than to follow him. He had his disciples. Who did Jesus come for? Came for the 12. So he already had them. But he wanted people to testify about what he had done for them so that they could believe Jesus. God turned into an evangelist, went back and told everybody what Jesus had done for him. He said, that's what I need you to do. You know what? We need to testify about what God did for us. We need to testify about how God healed us. He healed me from a sin-sick soul, changed everything, raised me up, resurrected me, and brought me to a place to where I am now. Great stuff. But that's what God came to do. All these other things that we go through, I have a friend of mine going through cancer right now. But don't people have cancer alike? There's a whole bunch of people that have it. You know, people that have hemophilia, aren't there a bunch of people that have that? People that have Tay-Sachs disease, is there a bunch of people that have that? Just like they had people that were lepers back in that day and all of that. One of the things that Jesus says, and I think this is important too, is that remember the 10 lepers that he healed? And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, because leprosy was a big thing back there. Unclean, unclean. They had to scream at walking. They were ostracized from the people, the whole deal. But 10 lepers met him, and he healed them. He said, go wash. And when you do that, you'll be healed, you know. Only one came back, and they did what? What was the two things that it did, that they did, that one man did? Anybody remember? He what? Worshiped the Lord, and yes, he was thankful, but he gave him glory, came back to give glory to the Lord. What have we been talking about with glory? Glory is being one with the Lord. This is very powerful. That guy that came back did something different than the other nine. And Jesus even said, weren't there nine others? How come they didn't come back and give God the glory? Oh, sometimes we forget, huh? We forget that the glory is us being one with God. We need to come back and give God the glory. He does something for us, we need to give him the glory for it. Not take anything for granted. God does things for us every day. We don't even think twice about it. It says we are his offspring. In him we live and move and have our being all the time. And do we take it for granted? I'm telling God all the time now, I thank you for everything you've done for me. I thank you for the glory you've shared with me. Being one with you, that's a big thing, isn't it? So I'm being renewed in the spirit of my mind, huh? Does that change things now? You've been renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is what God wants from every one of us, to be renewed. We have to be renewed because we fell. We had the full deal in the beginning, and then we took a hold of sin, and we had a fall. But God said, I want to restore you. Restoration to our right mind. I want to restore you. I want to get you back like it was from the beginning. Isn't Jesus the beginning and the end? Ah, so we're going to go back to the beginning, and it's like everything that we went through is like it never happened. Isn't that going to be cool? A do-over? Don't have to worry about any of this anymore? Resurrecting to the newness of life? That's a powerful thing. I think about that. That's what God wants to do. He wants to heal us. That's the healing, and he's going to do it through prayer. One place Jesus says this, I'm going to pray the Father for you. He did too, didn't he? 17th chapter of John. Did he pray the Father for us? He sure did. I'm going to pray the Father for you. I'm going to pray for you. Why? Because I'm bringing many sons to glory, and you're my sons. So I'm going to bring you all in. I'm going to share glory with all of you. That's what he's doing it for. He cares enough about us that he says, I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. Whoa. So Jesus is the Jesus, the Son of God. And he says, I'm not going to be ashamed to call you brethren. Why? Because we'll be sons. Isn't that what he wants? Very powerful stuff. So he's not ashamed to call us brethren. We are the brethren of the Lord. That's our brother, man. That's all you sisters, that's your brother too. All of them, huh? Isn't that what they call them, brethren? Brethren includes everybody? Isn't that neat? I think that what we do sometimes, we have too much separation here, you know, in the earth, the way we think. What we need to do is to be the one again. What did Gary tell us last, what was it, Tuesday? He said, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Father of all, in all, through you all, one. That's what God wants us to do. He wants to bring us all back to a one, where we share everything with him. And he doesn't want to withhold anything from us. We will share everything with him. And then now, what does that thing say? Beloved, that does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then, but the beginning of it says, behold, now are we the sons of God. So who's making us that? Who's doing that for us? Who's healing us? Healing. Restoration of what? The right mind in Jesus. We lost our mind. You remember, you have people say, you lost your mind, man. You know how we lost it? Through sin. We lost our mind at one time. Didn't remember anything. The dead know nothing. Isn't that right? Didn't know anything. All in darkness. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to renew your mind and bring you back to what you knew in the beginning. That's going to be a good thing. That's what God's doing for us right now. That healing is the restoration of the right mind. We think of healing the wrong way, guys. Think about it as the new man, how God takes us from being the old man to the new, how he changes those things in us. If he has to do a resurrection, he'll do that. If he has to cast out devils, he'll do that. If he has to heal a blood flow, he'll do that. If he has to take away a plague, he'll do that. Whatever he has to do, he'll do to heal you, which is the restoration of our right mind. Hope you got something out of what we said today. That's the restoration of your mind.